Verse 36, would you look at that real quick? Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. What is God saying? What has God said? I'm afraid that so many times we're seeking God's will, and we already know it. We know what God wants. We know what He expects. Remember Joshua when they failed at Ai, and he was over there just having a two-year-old fit in the dust, kicking up dust, and, oh my God, how'd you let this happen? And God said, get up. Why are you over there acting like a crybaby? You know why this happened. There's sin in the camp. We're looking for God's will. We already know God's will. If you're not born again, you know. You already know there's God in heaven that sent a Savior to the cross who died for you. And the only way you're getting to heaven is put your faith in Him and ask His forgiveness. That's the only way you're getting there. And so you already know His will. You already know how. You know if you're saved that Jesus showed us that step of baptism to represent the death, burial, and resurrection, that we should be buried with Him in baptism, to risen again to walk in newness of life. If you're saved, you need to be baptized. No doubt about that. Now, maybe a question of where, which church God wants you to be part of. But you know God wants you in a church. You know that, right? I mean, that's God's will. That's God's. God has a church. He has a bunch of them. And so if you don't like this one, there's one out there that'll fit in. You'll fit in somewhere. And you'll even like a preacher somewhere. And maybe that's not what you want. Maybe you want to not like a preacher, and so just find one you don't like and go there. But there's options is what I'm saying. But you know God's will is that you get saved. God's will is that you get baptized. God's will is that you get in church. Is that God's will? We know that. Is it God's will that we pray? Yes, it's God's will that we stay in communication. Why did God create Adam? So he'd have a friend. Don't you know God already had friends? But God wanted somebody who would be here. It was a whole different relationship than what God already had with those that were there. And so God made Adam, and then He made Eve so that Adam would have a friend. And there's a big story with that we'll tell later. But God did that on purpose. And He wants a relationship with us. That's what God wants, a relationship with us. And because He loves us, He wants us to do well. How many of you believe that? He wants us to be reasonably happy. He wants that. Now, I know that it was God's will for Joseph to go in the pit, and Joseph to go to Egypt, and Joseph to go to prison. I know that was God's will. But you know what I know? I know that Joseph trusted God through all of that. I know he did. I know that God, we looked at Jeremiah last week, and Jeremiah is named the weeping prophet. And he had some hard times. He had some struggles. I know what Job went through. I know what Jonah went through. But I know that we go through challenges and trials of life, but God wants us to trust Him in that and have peace, even in the storm. That's God's will. Don't you believe that? That's God's will. I know it's God's will for me to read the Word. I know it's God's will for me to share the Word. I know it's God's will for me to share my faith and to help people when they need it. I know that's God's will. Not just for me, but for all of us. For the church to do that. And by the way, I hear great things of what our brothers and sisters in the church do. So it's not, I'm not scolding anybody. I'm commending and just saying, that's God's will. It's God's will for us to do those things. It's God's will for us to stay in communication and to stay in prayer and to stay in church. We pray about things and we ask for God's will and we seek God's will and we already know what He wants. Such is Gideon. Look at that phrase, verse 36, as thou hast said. Now we'll go back and do the homework on it. In verse number 12, we know about Gideon who was threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. In verse 12, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And y'all know I love this story. Gideon's over there hiding, and the Lord says, you're a mighty man of valor. Scaredy cat. I mean, it wouldn't have been very nice if God would have said, you scaredy cat. But He called him mighty man of valor. Why? Because God knew what was in Gideon, even though Gideon couldn't see it. And God knows what's in us, even if we can't see it. And God knows what's in us, even if nobody else can see it. God knows. And that's what we see in verse number 12, when God called him a mighty man of valor. But look, Gideon couldn't see it. Verse 13. Gideon said unto him, Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? You see that? Gideon says to the angel of the Lord, who is the Lord, he says, I can't see it. I can't see it, and if I can't see it, I can't believe it. I don't believe it. Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? We heard about it. We believed it. But we don't see any evidence of it today. Gideon is challenging his faith. Verse 14, the Lord looked upon him. You notice we've changed now? We're not talking about the angel anymore. We've already clarified who it is. The Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might. You know, we sit around and we wait for God and say, God, if you'll just give me this, then I'll do that. If you'll just show me this, then I'll do that. If you'll just help me see that I can do it, then I'll do it. God said, Go in thy might. What you already have, who you already are, it is in you to do what you're called to do. I guarantee you, if it wasn't in you, God would not have called you to do it. Elijah says, If you weren't able, God wouldn't have said to do it. Have you ever expected a fish to climb a tree? How many of you think it's fairly easy to climb a tree? But have you ever expected an elephant to do it? You see, not everybody can do everything. But God made some to do one and some to do another. And so not everybody in here is going to do all the same stuff. But it is God's will for you to do what God called you to do. And so God gave you the ability, God gave you the valor, God gave you the might to do what God called you to do. And the same for me. So God has called us to it. He has equipped us to it. It is His will for us to do it. And He said, Go in this thy might. Continue the verse. He says at the end, Have not I sent thee? Didn't I? It was my will. It was my plan. I called you to it. God laid something on my heart. I saw somebody yesterday say, God laid something on my heart and said, I just couldn't get away from it. It's God's will. Have not I sent thee? And you know what I remember when I had first realized God called me to preach. And I had this idea. I said, God, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to work this out. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to become an accountant. And I'm going to secure a good job. And I'm going to teach Sunday school. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be a good Sunday school teacher. Lord. And I'll lead a singing in church. I'll do that for you, Lord. I'm committed to do that for you, Lord. And I'll just, and anytime you want to use me to preach, I'll preach. Anytime. I'm totally surrendered to you as long as you can work around my schedule. Now, I didn't say it that way, but that's what I was saying. But did I know God's will? But I was running from God's will. And then that night, I finally surrendered and said, Okay, God, have it your way. And you know, I slept better than I had slept in months. Because I finally had a peace, because I finally got this verse. I didn't read this verse, but I finally got the understanding, Have not I sent thee? You see, that's what it takes. When we know God's will, and we do God's will, but we shouldn't run from God's will. Verse 15, And he said unto him, Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? And he started with the excuses. Anybody ever give God excuses? Lord, I'd do that, but I recall one time I was pastoring Orlando and I was driving, and that road right there next to where I was driving went to one of our ladies in the church, one of the families in the church. And she was dying, but I'd been at work and I didn't smell good. I stunk, to be honest about it. And the Lord laid on my heart, He said, You need to go see her. Now, and I said, Lord, I will. I'm going to go home, I'm going to get showered, I'm going to get back over there, and I'm going to go see her. Before I got home, they called her, and she had passed away. What was the Lord telling me? The Lord was telling me, now. I need you there now. Have not I sent thee now? And what did I say? Lord, I don't see how I could do that right now. But can I tell you that people don't care if how you smell, if they know how you love?
I'm not discouraging baths or deodorant, but people care about our hearts. They care about our ministry. They care about our compassion. And when God moves on us, the Holy Spirit says, turn right, trust Him. But Gideon said, how can I do that? I'm poor, my family's poor, I'm the runt in my house. There's just no way I could do that. But look at verse 16. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee. Go in thy might, but understand something, you're not going alone. He's called us. He's equipped us. He is sending us, and He's going with us. That's what we need to know. We should take confidence in His calling. Take confidence in His will. And do what He called us to do. Look at verse 16. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. How many of you ever felt like the world was on your shoulders? You don't have to raise your hand. Felt like the world was on your shoulders. And it was all on you. And God said, Gideon, I want you to understand something. All that I've given you is all on you. And I'm going to help you. All that I've called you to is all on you. And I'm going to help you. That's God's given us a calling. He's given each of us a calling. He's given us a purpose. If we didn't have a purpose, we wouldn't be here. But because He's given us a purpose, we can count on Him going with us to do what He's called us to do. Verse 21, and the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so, and the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock. So now he's seen a miracle. Remember, Gideon's threshing wheat. He's scared to death. He's trying to hide from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord, this mighty presence, shows up. And Gideon's afraid, and he calls him a mighty man of valor, gives him responsibility, assures him of the calling, assures him of his presence, that he's going to go with him. And now he shows him a miracle. How many of you would be convinced? How many of you would believe, you know what, I believe this is real. I believe this is God. I believe this is exactly what God wants me to do, exactly as He's told me to do it, and I'm going to go do it. Well, in verses 25 through 27, I assure you that Gideon believed it. Gideon went and gave it all he had, and he cut down the groves of the false prophets. And I mean, it's like we say today, going after hell with a water pistol. I mean, he was fired up. He ready to go. He believed it. You ever get out of church feeling that way? Just so fired up and ready. I'm going to go call so-and-so and reach them, and I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to minister, and I'm going to start doing this, start doing that. I'm going to change this, change that. I'm going to give up that, give up that. I mean, he was fired up. He believed it. He accepted it. He sold out. Verse 35. An army gathered. Gideon sounds the trumpet, it says in verse number 34. And Abiezer was gathered after him. He sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. He sent messengers unto Asher and Zebulun and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. I mean, an army is gathered behind Gideon. Gideon looks back and there's all this support. Man, all these people believe in Gideon. They believe in the cause. They are supporting the cause. He's seen the miracles. He saw the Lord. He's cut down the groves of Baal and had no consequence. No enemy has come after him. They talked about it, but they backed off. And so far, he's untouched. Threatened, but untouched. Successful in his faith. And so there's no doubt that Gideon, just like we would, he's had success so far, and so he's sold out, and he's so excited, and he's never going to look back, right? Because he knows God's will. Just like we know God's will. He knows what God wants to do, just like we know what God wants us to do. Verse 36. Gideon said, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. You know God's will? Let me ask you a question. What does God say? Lord, do you want me to do this? Well, what do you say? I agree, there are some things that we have to seek God's face for a direct consultation and confirmation, because there are things specific that are not in His Word. But the principles and the standards and the direction is there, and we have the leadership, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and so we have communication with God. But let me ask you this, has He already told you? Has God already said, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast. God, I just want a test. I just need a proof. I just need a sign. I won't ask you, but I'll tell you, I'll just be honest with you. I've prayed for signs before. Lord, if you're going to do this, give me a sign. Gideon did it too. God proved Himself over and over. There's an army gathered behind Gideon. He said, you'll do it like one, but I'm going to give you a whole bunch. Thousands. Tens of thousands. Gideon says, well, I'm just not sure. How can I be sure this is what God wants? We're hard-headed. It's all clear. But we're just not real sure. He puts the fleece out there. And it was so in verse 38, on the morrow he thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece. A bowl full of water. And the ground was dry. All the dew on the fleece. And there's no doubt that just like Gideon, we would say, God, no doubt, thank you for that sign. I have all the confidence in the world in your calling as thou hast said. Right? Lord, tonight when I put the fleece out, I want the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece, and there was dew on all the ground. What has God said? Are we seeking God's will? Are we truly seeking God's will, or are we just making excuses? Are we just delaying? Are we asking for a sign because we don't understand? Or are we pushing God's limits and saying, God, I don't trust you? As thou hast said, trust Him, trust His word, don't question Him, don't question His truth, don't delay your cooperation with His plan, don't delay your calling. The Lord is with thee. Go in this, thy might, and trust God to do the rest. There are times in our lives where we don't know God's will. But if it's a question that's already answered in the Bible, it's really not a question. It's an excuse. Let's pray. God, will you draw us to you in our faith? And we're thankful for your word, the truth that you have shared with us tonight, the encouragement that you've given us, and for the challenge, because no doubt there are times in our lives where we know the truth and we know the plan, and we just need to go. Not pray, go. Not pray, do. And trust you as thou hast said. Draw us to you. Forgive our sins. Dismiss us with your grace and bring us back safely. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.